Blog Talk Radio.
Professor Applewhite, and I'm pleased to be here with you this morning. You know, I can't tell you how important mental food is. I had this whole thing planned out today of what to tell you about it, what to share with you as a teacher, and hoping that I would receive information from you as a student, and I still hope for that. But the information that I want to share with you, and I still will, it's pretty scientific in a way, but this is real personal what happened this morning, and I just want to share it with my listeners out there. My friends, this morning I was really rushed, unbelievably rushed. I'm pretty good with getting prepared for the show on time, but this morning was difficult for a lot of different reasons. I don't need to go into all the reasons, but you can understand that different stress factors happened. And in addition to that, I overslept, which is kind of unusual for me, especially on a Saturday morning when I know that you're so eager to hear my voice and I'm eager to hear yours. So make sure you give a call in at 1-646-727-3758 so you can talk to me live. Or the chat line is open, so you can type in a message to me about how you feel about mental food. But let me explain what happened this morning. It was so weird. I had to eat something this morning. My stomach was feeling uncomfortable. And so I had to get something in my stomach in order to get my physical food in. And while I'm scrambling to try to get that to happen, I started feeling really bad, and I started thinking about the show this morning, about mental food, and I said, okay, now I'm feeding myself this physical food. May I tell you what I had this morning? I'm just dying to tell you. The most delicious French toast that my friend and my nurse's aide, my medical assistant, put together for me this morning, a delicious French toast with vanilla and cinnamon. And I just want to thank you, Malvina, okay, the most delicious French toast that I've ever had in my life. She fixes that. And no, you cannot have any right now because I've eaten it. But and a delicious turkey bacon coffee. I mean, it was just laid out so nicely. But more important than that was the mental food that I needed to keep going this morning. And what do I mean by that? Mental food is the food that you feed into your mind. It's your thoughts. And so my thoughts had to receive some good, nutritious mental food. My brain had to start functioning so that my mind, which some of us call the spirit or the soul, but for the purpose of this show, I'll just call it the mind, had to be fed something that was going to motivate it to get going and stop thinking bad things. Like, why did I get up so late? Kicking myself. You know, I'm going to be late for the show. I'm not going to get there in enough time into the studio. You know, all kinds of things that I was feeding myself, all kinds of negative thoughts. And so when we feed ourselves negative fuel, or fuel that's not good for us, then in the same voice, it's just like we're feeding ourselves negative or not good food for our physical bodies. You see, both need the same. When you, it's unfortunate that many of us can go to a gas station and look at, not too much today because of the economic times, but just bear with me on this example. We can go to a gas station and we can start looking at what the fuel content is. Like, you know, the 87, 89, are we going to put in an 88 or 87 or 89 fuel or a 92 fuel? We look at how our carburetors are doing. We take our car in for a tune-up. All these things feed into, oh, there's that word feed into the fuel that's needed to keep the car running smoothly. Well, I think most of us understand that that same example applies to us physically. That the food we feed ourselves physically we need to look at that and say, you know, is this a good octane level? Is this a good fuel level for us to put into our bodies? Is this going to give us the right amount of carbohydrates, vitamins, sodium? You know, is it good? Is it good for us vitamin-wise? I mean, I know we do that. For those of us who have children, we certainly spend enough time managing how we're going to feed our kids. And hopefully we're doing the same things with our own body and managing what we put into our own bodies, because that's so, so important. So if we're so conscious about our physical food going in, and then we're so conscious about what goes into our automobiles to make them run smoothly, why aren't we as conscious as what goes into our minds? Okay? Now, when we talk about the brain, I need to separate the brain from the mind for you, okay? So that we're making sure that we're talking about the same thing. I want you to keep in mind as we go through the series of shows on, I think there's three shows that are designed around this mental food concept. So I want you to make sure that you separate the brain as a physical entity and manage that the physical entity of the brain is not necessarily the mental aspect of the brain. Okay, so as we feed ourselves physical food, it's very important that we feed ourselves mental food at the same time and are aware of what we're putting into our brains. So what you put into your brain, as far as foods are concerned, I hope I'm getting very clear with this. Let me just try this once more. So I feel that I didn't say this just the right way I wanted to say it. When we feed ourselves physical food, we are feeding the brain, okay? So the brain needs a certain amount of glucose, which is sugar, but not in the same form as that white powdery stuff that is sold to us in stores, which is truly very poisonous. We have to be very careful of that. That's not what we're talking about. When we talk about mental food, we're talking about the thought process. So thoughts are not something you can touch. Thoughts come to us on a whole different level. It's a different frequency. You see, everything on our planet is built around frequency, energy, energy in, energy out. That's all it is, friends. Energy and matter. So the energy comes in different forms, and creates matter, which creates us. It creates everything around us, the matter of the tree, the matter of all of our plants, the matter of who we are as human beings, all the animals, that's all matter. But it is generated by the energy. And energy is what fuels our brain. Energy fuels our brain in so many different ways. And so we want to make sure that when we fuel ourselves with the right foods, the right mental thoughts, that we are blossoming into enlightened beings or enlightened human beings, or may I say enlightened spiritual beings. Because the more efficient, the more nutritious our mental food is, we start moving up into different levels of thought. And so we may be at a thought level where we allow ourselves to be pulled in to the media frenzies that are going on and start thinking about our world as a terrible place to live in and losing hope about where we're going to be in the next century as human beings, or even closer in. Most people are feeding themselves this mental food about December 21st, 2012, which is the end of the Mayan calendar, which everybody is predicting is the end of the world. Not everybody, but I mean there's a group of people, I should say, that are predicting that as the end of the world because the Mayan calendar is going to run out. I'm not saying that that's not going to happen. Who am I? I don't know. I'm just saying that when we feed ourselves those mental thoughts, that energy, that we are creating a negative force around us. And so we have to be careful of what kind of mental food we feed into our mentality, and that's going to affect the way that we live, not just personally, but professionally, in our goings on with as teachers, when we're entering the school, entering our classrooms, as students, as we're starting to sit down and study. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking, is this worth it to go through and get a degree when our world is going to end anyway, when our world is in such a bad place? What kind of mental food are you feeding yourself? What do you feed your mental self? You see, because you have a physical self, and you have a mental self, and you have a spiritual self. And I'm not going to get into the spiritual self today, but that's where we're at. So let me just open by just talking about how we describe the show today. This is part one of three of what do you feed your mental self, and then I'll start taking the callers in that have called in this morning. Most people are aware of the importance of feeding our physical bodies the right type of foods. Some of us are even familiar with the concept of spiritual food and claim to know what is needed to satisfy the soul in order to reap rewards in the afterlife. You know, whatever the afterlife means to you, I can't touch that one because it means different things to different people, different cultures, okay, different belief systems, different values. But whatever it is, everyone has some kind of idea about what they're going to do after this life, okay? And things that will satisfy their soul. In the same line of thought, my friends, students and teachers at all levels, and remember, I always say to us, to all of us, that we are all students and we are all teachers, okay? We must understand what mental food is and what is needed to satisfy the mind. Okay, so yeah, we want to satisfy the soul, absolutely. But we also want to satisfy the mind and satisfy the body. And we do this to enjoy the rewards in our present life. Not the afterlife, in our present life. Okay? So in these three episodes, I'm going to work with our guests that come on the show, those that come onto the chat line, and we'll share some of the basic nutritional needs of our brain. So I will be sharing that with you. And why the brain must work properly to be used by the mind. Remember I said they're two separate entities, even though the brain feeds the mind, it is a physical entity. We want to know how the mind creates an image of the mental self that is different from the physical and spiritual selves, and how the mental self can become malnourished, get that word, malnourished by what we feed the brain, by what we feed our mental self, malnourished. Now, you hear that word malnourished when we talk about, you know, unfortunately, people in different parts of the world who are suffering from hunger and because of poverty situations. But we don't usually use that term when we're talking about mental food. Malnourished? What do you mean malnourished? Malnourished, mal meaning bad or not good. And then we have, when we talk about malnourished, when we talk about malnourished for the physical body, we're also talking about malnourishment for the mental body. And we're going to get a little bit more into malnourishment of our mental self as we go through some things on the show and invite our guests in to discuss how they feed their mental selves, what kind of food that they use, what kind of movies do they watch, what kinds of books and magazines do they read. But here, get this one, get this one. What kinds of conversations we engage in. Doesn't that reinforce more about the malnourished mental self than anything else? Because not only are you thinking about something that doesn't feed you well as far as your mental thoughts, so you're already thinking it. Now, when you speak it with another person, or listen to it, roll it around in your brain, now, wow, you are really, really asking for malnourishment of your mental self. And that goes along with listening to people telling you that why are you going to get this degree? I heard just the other day a term called degree chasers. And I had to ask the person, what do you mean by degree chasers? Well, there are some people that just chase degrees just for having a degree on the wall. And it doesn't really give them any money. Well, that's not necessarily why the person might have went to school, might not wanted to go to school. It might be because that person wants to get themselves positive mental food and stay in an environment where they're always fed on a positive level. Because sometimes when you're outside of the positive that's going on, maybe in schools and churches and wherever you worship at, if that's a positive environment, if school's a positive environment, if work is a positive environment, I hope it is for most of you, because we do talk about being in a job that you love. Do what you love, the money will follow. Okay, find your dream, because that will feed yourself that mental and spiritual food that you need to keep on going every day. It's a horrible thing to have to get up every day and go into a job that you hate doing. Talk about the mental food that we're feeding ourselves. Well, we have a few guests on the line. And I'd like to welcome our first guest in. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. You're calling in from a 226 number?
Yes.
Good morning. That's a familiar voice.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Hey, E.C. Applewhite, my dad, calling in this morning.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure to listen to such a brilliant mind that I knew you had when you was coming up. And now you're putting it on display.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. I don't want to talk.
But thank you very much. It's
because I'm here. I'm here.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to know that. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, and thank you for giving me all this insight as a young woman to understand more about what I feed myself mentally. You've been so very involved in exposing me to the spiritual side of life and what we feed ourselves, not only physically, mentally, and spiritually. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, and we have another call.
Well, I have a lot to say. Maybe things down a little.
Okay. All right.
That's what made this.
Okay.
What inspired me this morning was looking at the OJs. The OJs was on the show today. I was looking at those guys, and I used to hang out with them when they was small. We was all around 20.
And, say that again. I'm sorry. Try that again.
I said I was inspired this morning by looking at the OJs.
Oh,
that
the
we
OJs.
Live as long as we want to, as long as we can, because they are doing what they love to do, and they was moving. And I know that they're in my age group, and that's a wonderful thing to see. Thank you very much. I was just inspired by it this morning.
Thank you.
And I know I could get some food from your show. That's why I called.
Well, thank you. The OJs, great singing group, the OJs. They made a lot of great songs. I think one of them was Get On Board, The Love Train. I believe that was the OJs. I hope I have that right. That wouldn't be fair not to put that on them if that's not their song. But I'm very familiar with the concept that they truly did do what they felt was right. And most musicians, most artists in the world are doing what they feel they have to do, which I have to appreciate that, because when you think about artists and musicians and their mental food, there's so many people around them, even my students that want to go into the arts, into entertainment, into theater, they get so much negative flack from everyone about their goals.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Okay? Everyone says, what are you going to do that for? You know, you got to make money, and, you know, who says you're going to be discovered? But it's not about that. It's not about being discovered. It's about doing what you love to do. And feeding your mental self that positive environment, being around people that think the same way you do.
Absolutely.
And feed you, you know. And so when you're playing the guitar, you're blowing the horn, whatever you're doing, you're singing, you're in an environment where everybody's smiling and everybody's, yeah, man, yeah, you know. And it's encouraging, it's cheering. You know, you got cheerleaders all around you when you're in any kind of entertainment industry. And so I really appreciate that people in the entertainment industry go for it, no matter whether they're discovered and become famous or not. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, I know you got to put food on the table, and most of us know that. But thank you very much for bringing that up, because it feeds right into you know, what we feed our mental self. We have another caller on that. It looks like a familiar number. Is this a board member here? Good morning. 418?
Hello?
Okay, that's okay. I'm trying to get this another number up on the switchboard here. Okay, maybe they went away for a minute. But I'm just going to continue on with what I found. I have a 7-day mental diet I wanted to go through with everybody this morning. And it's by a very, very wonderful man. I love to read his work. His name is Emmett Fox. And Emmett Fox talks about how to change your life and the world in a week, the 7-day mental diet. Okay? Now, again, as I always have to make sure that I put out this disclaimer, I am in no way endorsing any kind of religious thought or anything. We are totally not even, I don't even want to say non-denominational. We just accept everyone as long as their belief is in a creator and we believe in love. So I don't know what Emmett Fox's religious foundation is exactly, but I know that I do like a lot of the things that he writes, and so that's why I'm sharing it with you guys today on the show, you guys and girls out there. No matter how old you are, you'll be 101 years old listening to the show. You're still a girl, you're still a guy, okay? The subject of diet is one of the foremost topics of the present day in public interest, Emmett Fox writes. Okay, and it talks about all these newspapers and magazines and everything talking about the unfolding mysteries of starches and vitamins and so forth. And the whole world is so food conscious, okay? Experts on the subject are saying that physically you become the thing that you eat, that your whole body is really composed of the food that you have eaten in the past. So what you eat today, they say, will be in your bloodstream after the lapse of so many hours, and it is your bloodstream that builds all the tissues composing your body, and there you are. Well, thank you, Emmett Fox, for reinforcing what I was saying this morning. So, no, he says no sensible person is going to argue about this. It's perfectly true, and what he wants to do, he has a pamphlet that he distributes. And I might be able to give you the information on this pamphlet at the end of the show. But he says that he wants to refer to a course on mental dieting, that the most important of all factors in your life is the mental diet on which you live. It is the food which you furnish to your mind that determines the whole character of your life. Now, for those of us who deal with any kind of disabling condition. Remember that word disabling just means that one or two of our abilities may be dissed or not working the way we want them to work, not functioning the way, but we find another way to make things happen to achieve our goals. So we are not going to let the word disabled stop us from doing anything. And it's not going to change the character of our lives, okay? It's not going to change us to put on a negative label. We're not going to wear a negative label in our life, okay? So it is the thoughts that we allow ourselves to think, the subjects that we allow our mind to dwell upon, which make our surroundings what they are. So every day, you have to look at your strength. What is your strength? Everything in your life today, the state of your body, whether healthy or your perceived sick body, and I say perceived sick, okay, because it's all about what we perceive. And we perceive, I don't like people to say, you're sick. Aren't you sick today? No, I don't perceive myself as sick. I perceive myself as having something that I need to overcome, because sick means so many different things to me. It means bent over and giving up, okay? It means that I have no ability to heal myself, and I do have the ability to heal myself because the Creator has placed that ability inside of all of us, that we can heal ourselves. We can heal ourselves from many of our physical anomalies, and we can also heal ourselves from our mental anomalies when we talk about mental health disorders, and we'll talk about that on our next show. But just by the habitual tone of how we think, the habit of how we feed ourselves different messages, the condition of your life in the future, the tomorrow, the next week, the next year, will be entirely conditioned by the thoughts and feelings which you entertain right now, my friends. So what you say about your schoolwork, your homework, your work at your job, whatever you're saying to yourself about those things, whatever mental food you're feeding yourself, is still going to affect, no matter how you slice it, your future and your life, the condition of your life in the next week, in the next year. You choose your life. You choose all the conditions of your life, per Emmett Fox. He makes that very clear. It means that you cannot change your environment and leave your mind unchanged. Okay? Your mind has to change with the environment. So, you know, how many people, they'll go through a divorce or something horrible in their lives, and then they feel that I'm going to leave here. So they leave Chicago or Ohio or Washington or across the country, and they come to a new place, maybe Arizona here, okay? And they think, oh, this is going to be a great change in my life, a great change in my environment, okay? But what they miss is that they haven't changed their mind, okay? Can you change your mind without even changing your environment? Because if you can change your mind and start feeding your mind positive mental food, then maybe you don't need to change your environment. Okay, think about that for a minute. Maybe you don't have to pack up the house and pack up the luggage, put stuff in storage, and say, I'm changing everything. Now, I'm not saying that you can't, that doesn't work sometimes, because sometimes changing the physical environment does work, just like changing the environment, the environment of our body, the physical environment of what we eat can change how healthy we are. So sometimes that is absolutely necessary, my friends, but not always the first choice of I'm going to get up and I'm going to leave. I'm going to get up, I'm going to quit my job because I'm not happy here. How about we go back to that place within us and look at what kind of mental food, what kind of mental diet we're on, okay? So Emmett Fox advises us to be very clear about this. If you change your mind, your conditions must change too, he says. This may be called the great cosmic law. Okay, and I like that. I mean, the great cosmic law, you cannot be healthy, you can't be happy, prosperous, or anything like that if you have a bad disposition. And we've talked about this many, many times. You know, depression is one, and being fearful about things, it makes life not worth living. It takes away your hope, okay? One of the symptoms of depression is, do you feel, we ask the question, do you feel hopeless? Do you feel a sense of hopelessness? Okay? And so when you feel this sense of hopelessness, it leads to this bad disposition, and it looks for food based on the condition that it's in. So let me bring this really home, back to my grandmother. Boy, I tell you, Miss Louisa Leek, I have to talk about her for a minute, because she is one who has drilled into my mind the fact that there's a statement of misery likes company, misery loves company. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Mama said, misery doesn't just like company. Misery likes miserable company, okay? So people don't just like to be around just anybody. They like to be around other people who are miserable, okay? So when you're sad, you like to be around, you generate being around people that are sad too, okay? So that doesn't feed yourself, your mental self. It doesn't feed your mental self positive food. It feeds your mental self negative food, food that's not good for you. Were you going to say something, ECF White?
I know. I'll disagree with what you were saying.
Okay. All right. I always bring up your mother, Louisa Leek, whenever I'm teaching classes and everything. I don't know if you knew that. I open up my class talking about my dear grandmother, and that she was the greatest psychologist I ever knew, even though she only had a third grade or less than a third grade education, actually. And
I remember, because I was there.
That's right. Of course you do. And, you know, but she was the greatest psychologist I ever knew. And she taught me many things. Many of the things that I teach now are from what I've learned for my grandmother, a woman whose grandmother herself was born a slave, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? Yes.
Well, she was born in that, yes, in that environment.
Yes, that's right. Her grandmother, I believe it was her grandmother or her great-grandmother who was born a slave. And so, because we're talking, right. Yeah. Talking way back there. And so if people knew then the importance of mental food, because we, and it had to, when we talk about black people in on this planet, okay, people who are classified as black people, okay, certainly when we move to the African-American experience from the diaspora in Africa to where we are now in America, and we think about what kind of mental food do we feed ourselves to have the strength that we have today, that we've overcome insurmountable goals, not only because of the physical food that we ate, because Mama knew how to get out there and put some greens together and some meat together and cornbread and all that stuff that was good for our bodies and gave us a wholesome meal. And then we went into the fields and worked. So we got our physical exercise in, our physical food, and then what did we do to keep ourselves going when the days were hard and we were working 12, 14, 16 hours a day and not even getting paid for it sometimes, or getting paid so little it didn't even matter whether we were getting paid. What did we do to feed ourselves mentally, our mental selves? We sang. We sang songs.
Oh, you are really waking up some memories.
Okay. The old Negro spirituals. Yes.
You're waking up some memories in my head, because I'm 82 years old and I know a lot of things that you're talking about. It's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because you're my daughter, but because I experienced a lot of things at being 82.
Mm-hmm.
It was a life that I never dreamed that I would be able to. To hug a white person, people like that. But my attitude, my mind changed when I started to experience the plight of the human life, of being a person, and loving. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
Love and understanding. When you can do that, you're halfway there.
That's right. And we were taught love as a people. We were taught love. And I think that when we get into this feeding our mental selves, I think that's really what Emmett Fox and other people that are involved in that train of thought are thinking, is that love is the greatest mental food that we can give ourselves. When we talk about real mental food, loving ourselves, not just loving what we do, and allowing the money to follow, but loving ourselves, our mental selves enough, and our spiritual selves and our physical selves, that we go forward in this life no matter what we're facing, no matter what disadvantages we're facing. Because disadvantage, again, just means that some of the advantages that we're facing in this life have been dissed. Okay, in other words, we had to move them aside. We had to find a detour, an alternative. Disadvantage or disability fall into the same line. Just remember that dis only means it's just temporary. Okay? So don't accept that, my listeners, my friends out there, as the end, as the permanent way you have to live your life, because you can always change your mind. Always you can change your mind, and always you can change. That is one thing. Let me just say that, because I was just thinking of this just now. If there's anything that we can change, that we have total control over, is changing our mind, if you think about it, and our spirituality. But let's just stay on the changing the mind right now. Because if you're in a prison, or if you're in a country right now where war is breaking out all over the place and you're at a disadvantage for getting physical food inside of you or inside of your babies, You know, that just doesn't happen in war-torn countries. It happens right here in the good old United States of America. As I gave some statistics out a few weeks ago about hunger in our country, okay? And the fact that we've got 1 out of 7 people that go to bed hungry at night. And that's based on World Health Organization. I mean, when you're hungry, you're going to seek out some way to feel better about yourself. And the only way sometimes that you can do that is by feeding yourselves the right mental food, feeding ourselves the right mental food. And going back to the earlier slaves, Africans of African descent in this country, who found a way to satisfy their mind, okay? They were all students and teachers too. That's right, student to teacher. They taught each other and learned from each other how to get through the day, especially when there was a very unfortunate situation of a master who beat them and enslaved them. They still found a way to enjoy the rewards in this present life. And when you look at the psychology of that, it's just mind-blowing. I mean, how can people be so torn down? And I'm not just talking about African-American descent. I'm not just talking about that because I know that we can also acknowledge the Jews, the Jewish people and the Holocaust that took place. We can go back into people of India and before Gandhi came and changed the rulings. So there's, I mean, we can go historically into any race of people and find how they've used their mental, what they feed their mental self to get through the day, to get through the week, through the months, through the years of suffering and pain and disadvantages in life. But they still got through. And they got through because what they fed themselves, who they associated with. You were not going to hear, just going back for a moment, to my grandmother and the stories that she used to share with me, you are not going to find someone who worked in the cotton fields standing next to somebody else who said, I hate this job. I ain't going to do this job anymore. I ain't going to be out here in this cotton field. I'm not going to do it. No. You didn't even associate with someone with that kind of mentality because you didn't want to feed yourself that kind of food. Okay, in your mind. You didn't want your thoughts to even go in that direction. So what my grandmother used to do is change the lane. You know, cotton fields are lined up into lanes, into fields, into rows. Okay, so if she was on a row with somebody that was not talking in the direction that she could keep on going for the day, then she changed over to another row and started picking that cotton in another row. Next to somebody else who was saying, singing that old Negro spiritual, so that they could feed themselves mental food that kept them both going. Because you have to associate yourself. Pardon me?
This is amazing because you're speaking of my mother, your grandmother.
Yeah.
How she appeared on the stage at 72 years old.
72?
Because she always wanted to sing.
Wow.
She was a Mahalia Jackson at her time. And she was so famous that they put her in a role on the theater. They had a theater about her. My child is coming home. And she sang that song.
Uh-huh.
I was inspired by that.
How does that song go?
You go ahead. I can't talk. If you don't
I guess
that,
it's, yeah,
I got to write about that one day.
Yeah, I hope you do. I really do. And I'd love to hear when you're in a better place. I'd love to hear you sing that song for us on the radio. Would you do that for us when you join us again? That song that you were just talking about, that that grandma used to sing for Mahalia Jackson. Yeah. I would love for you to sing that song one day on the show. Can you? You can't sing it.
I can't make a promise right now, but I'll try to gather the material and see if I can.
Okay. Any song that you'd like to sing that would be encouraging to our listeners, we'd love to hear you sing E.C. Applewhite. We'd love to hear you come on the show one day and just sing something encouraging to us, because we know you do a lot of things with the Arizona State University. You go out and you sing for the Multicultural Education Program at Arizona State University, and we're proud of you for that, for bringing that multicultural experience to our students. So thank you for that. And so if you can share some of that with us on the show, we'd really appreciate it. Okay. So we're having a little technical difficulty here because somehow our calls were dropped, and I'm not sure why and what happened. I hope that we're still on here. Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and we'll be finishing up with our show this morning with not only the 7-day mental diet from Emmett Fox. I want to continue doing that. Let's run through this real quickly. First of all, negative thinking. Negative thinking, he says, a negative thought is any thought of failure, of disappointment, or trouble. Any thought of criticism, okay? Thoughts of sickness or accident. That's the first thing that we need to do. We need to get rid of those thoughts, okay? And that means that we need to decipher what is positive or negative. And even when your brain tries to deceive you, your heart will whisper the truth. So listen to your heart. Second, you must be quite clear what the scheme calls for, that you should not entertain or dwell upon negative thoughts, okay? Make sure that you entertain and dwell on things that are going to bring you agreeable news, not disagreeable news. And if you do see crimes and disasters or hear about disagreeable things, it doesn't mean that you have to close your ears and say, oh, I'm not going to look at them, or I'm not going to think about them, because there's no way you can avoid that. But what you can do is turn away for a minute, okay? Turn off the thought of unkind remarks and those what we call stupid remarks, Emmett Fox's stupid remarks, those remarks that make us feel really, really bad. Best of all, think of God as explained in the Golden Key perfect analogy, okay? He has a Golden Key perfect analogy. I'm not going to go into that right now, but he says, the analogy is furnished by the case of a man who is sitting by an open fire when a red-hot cinder flies out and falls on his sleeve. If he knocks that cinder off at once without a moment's delay to think about it, no harm is done. If you think about that for a minute, you drop something like a piece of a fire or a little piece of match or anything on you, you automatically swip it away. You know, you push it away. But if you allow it to rest on you under any kind of pretense, that you're going to land up on fire, repairing that sleeve or on fire. So you have to immediately get rid of the negative thought, okay? So those are two things, and we'll finish up with more on Emmett Fox a little bit next week. In closing, he wants to tell us that people often find that the starting of this mental diet seems to stir up a lot of difficulties. So when you start on a mental diet, you have to make sure that you're ready to really make a commitment to yourself. Things start moving in your life, and they're going to start coming up for you. Hold on steady. Let it rock. When the rocking is over, the picture will have reassembled itself into something much nearer to your heart's desire. And I use the same example when I talk to my students about the roller coaster. And I say, when you're on that roller coaster, hold on when it's going down. Okay? When life seems to be handing you the downs, hold on. Hold on to the rails. Don't let go. because eventually that roller coaster is going to go right back up again, and things are going to be better in your life. And then, of course, you're going to go down again, because that is what life is, from the hills to the valleys. Remember that nothing said or done by anyone else can possibly throw you off the diet. That's what Emmett Fox says. You cannot be thrown off this diet, because only your own reaction to the other person's conduct can do that. So you have to watch your reaction, the way you react to other people when they say things to you, or when you think things about your job, about your college degree, okay, about all of those things that you feel are very, very important in your life. You must recognize that you need to satisfy your soul with some good spiritual food, and you need to satisfy your body with some great physical food, which is coming up next week, my friends. Oh, yes. Before I talk to you again, before we speak again, you guys are going to have some, most of you are going to have some good food, soul food, okay? Talk about some soul food, some turkey. I've got fried turkey coming with Cajun seasoning. Okay, am I making you hungry? Macaroni and cheese, some greens, okay? Some fried rice. I mean, just all kind of stuff. Cranberry. Can I go on and on? I'm just getting really, I got this physical food thing in my mind now. But the way that I did that just now and thinking about the physical food, we can do the same thing with our mental food. The picture of mental food would be, hey, I'm going to watch a great movie. Okay, let's watch a movie about something positive. Okay, let's turn off the news and close the newspaper for a minute. And let's think about, remember that show we did not too long ago? Let me see if I can, maybe I can get this caller on the line now. 418, are you there?
If you're worried about your finances.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. My phone went off.
All right, that's okay. What about 418? Are you there?
602? Yes, I am.
Hello?
How are you?
Oh, good morning, Dr. Beverly Ponitz. I know that voice.
Yes, it is, and I just want to say, fantastic show. It brings back memories for me also, and I feed myself every morning when I get up. I tell myself all the wonderful things I'm going to do and how I'm going to help people and how great I am and just how my life impacts other people and how it's not about me, it's about others and what we can do in life and in the community. And that's what you're talking about. And thank you so much for sharing that.
Mental food, that's the mental food you give yourself, is how much you're going to help other people. That is wonderful.
Yeah.
That goes back to that love thing again.
Mm-hmm.
That the best mental food we can give ourselves is to love. To love ourselves first and then to love others. That's fantastic. Do you understand, as an educator yourself, do you can see that difference between what we feed our brains, the physical food we feed our brains, and the mental food we feed our minds? Can you see that?
Yes, I can. Absolutely. I am definitely involved in making sure that I can feed my body, my brain, the physical, so that the mental is more clear, accurate, just fast, you know?
Uh-huh.
And they go hand in hand. You have to feed your body good things, both mentally and physically.
Can you give us an idea of some good foods that we could feed our brain? You know, because, you know, I wanted to have enough time to talk about the World Mental Health Day. And, you know, mental health is a big issue in our society. And we deal with a lot of mood disorders and anxiety and depression. And Dr. Andrew Weil, we're going to see if we can get him on the show, as a matter of fact. He just wrote a book about depression. And I know that all of this feeds into our mental thoughts. And I was just wondering, with all of the things that you're involved with, Dr. Ponitz, is there anything that you can share with us that, as far as brain food, is concerned, that we can physically put into our bodies to help our thought process?
Absolutely, there is. However, in a minute, I don't think I'd be able to cover it.
Okay.
So, you know, this might be a good portion for next
absolutely
week's conversation.
Will you please prepare something for us so that we can have our students, our listeners, get involved more with because you are saying that there is food out there that we can put into our brains. You are agreeing to that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
One is called marine phytoplankton. It comes from the ocean. It's the very first food that was on the planet.
Wow.
And that's something that I consume every day. And so, yes, I would. I will be more than happy to take a few minutes and talk about some of the physical foods that's good for your body and your brain.
Well, thank you so much, because we know that that's important. And as we begin to close our show today and thank all of our listeners for being part of what we're doing here, just know that we are radiating a new consciousness, keeping in mind that our purpose is always about giving, loving, and serving in some capacity. This is from Dr. Wayne Dyer. We're always loving and serving in some capacity, regardless of what vocation we have chosen. And so our question should be, what are we able to give away as a purposeful mission? And that's what Dr. Polnis was just saying to us, is that she wakes up thinking about how she can help other people, and that's how she feeds herself mentally. And so we thank all of you. We thank Nazim Rashid for his great music to open and close our show. We thank all of our the people out there that are listening, and we hope that you join us again next Saturday as I will come back to you. Professor Applewhite signing out from White Apple Institute. And thank you so much for joining us. Love and peace. Much love and peace. Thank you so much.
Oh.